A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome to those of you who are in the church house this morning, and welcome to those of us who are worshiping via Zoom. As you all know, through the letter that was sent out by Claire, I am taking this service from the comfort of the manse because I tested positive for COVID and so have to respect those rules. But thank God yesterday my tests came back negative. We have come together as a congregation to worship God and to thank Him for His love and for His kindness over our lives. And we come with our burdens, but also with our joys. We bring them to God that He may continue to bless us. And now, before we continue with our service, we will read the psalm this morning. Our call to worship psalm is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let us come before God who made us, for he is our God. We are his people. We are the flock of his shepherds. You shall know his power today if you will listen for his voice. O God, maker of all things, lover of all people, your presence is with us always, around us and within us. You are the source of our life, and without you, we and all things would cease to be. You alone are real. Everything else derives its reality from you. Help us to worship you with mind and heart and all the power of our being. Father, we come to you conscious of the things within ourselves we hate to remember, yet cannot forget and fear to renounce. Our self-indulgences, our prejudices, our resentments, our hypocrisies, our selfishness. Save us from self-contempt as we acknowledge these things, and as we remember your love for us in spite of all that we are and do. Give us the assurance of pardon, the release and relief of those who know that the past is forgiven, and the zeal, the zest and joy of those who know that the future is still to come. So may we live in that fullness and freedom of life which you have promised that we can share through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, salvation belongs to our God.
Let us hear the word of God this morning, first of all, as it is contained in the book of the prophet Isaiah, reading chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Isaiah 49, from the beginning. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.'" And the second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us have lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is from the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. May God add his blessing and his understanding to these readings of his holy word. Our next hymn, number 550, "As the Deer Pants for the Water."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, open our hearts and speak to us clearly so that we may understand your word, accept its teaching, and use it for our own benefit through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder whether there has ever been any time in the history of the world when conscientious human beings have been more depressed about the problems and increasing evils of mankind. The escalating economic problems of unemployment, population explosion, social conflicts, racism, the disintegration of family life, dishonesty, sexual immorality, and our increasing health problems, including the COVID-19 pandemic that has persisted, and personality type disorders born out of frustration and anxiety. Worse still are the underlying moral causes of human selfishness, greed, and violence, the breakdown of trust and confidence between different sections of the human community, and a terrible loss of morale. No wonder the Christian Voice published an article entitled "Britain in Sin," arguing that the United Kingdom is in deep decline, as evident in social and economic trends and crime statistics, which reveal a nation beset by rising crime, family breakdown, infertility, drug taking and abuse, indecency, profligacy, and perversion. Man seems incapable of managing his or her own affairs, incapable of creating a just, free, human, and tranquil society, and life for many people seems totally meaningless. Viktor Frankl, the great Austrian neurologist, psychiatrist, and philosopher, was founder of logotherapy, a school of psychotherapy which describes a search for a life meaning as the central human motivational force. Frankl was perceptive when he remarked that clinics are crowded with people suffering from a new kind of neurosis, a sense of total and ultimate meaninglessness of life. And as to the causation of the feelings of meaninglessness, Viktor Frankl suggested that one may say, albeit in an oversimplifying way, that people have enough to live by, but nothing to live for. They have the means, but no meaning. Dear friends, it is against that background of our contemporary problems and the sense of meaninglessness that we turn to the challenging but edifying and hopeful words of the Apostle Paul. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul begins with a pessimistic view about the human situation and then goes on to an optimistic view about the grace of Almighty God. It is a text that captures the essence of the gospel of salvation in that refreshing contrast or mixture of evil and good, of tragedy and triumph, and even of hopelessness and hope. And so we think of our hopelessness. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3, you were dead, says Paul. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, When you followed the ways of this world and gave yourselves to the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, you were dead. When we disobey God, we sentence ourselves to death. And here Paul is addressing born-again Christians. They were dead, gratifying the desires of the flesh, that is, doing things for the pleasure or comfort of the physical body without regard to the soul. And the works of the flesh that kill and destroy us are evident. Paul tells us elsewhere, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. And elsewhere in another version of the Bible, it says, you he made alive when you were spiritually dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And this means that those who don't know God and are not in Christ are dead. Without God, we are dead. We are spiritually dead. You know, friends, there are many people who are full of vitality and life as they appear to be, but they are dead. And sometimes they feel this emptiness in their lives. Cartoonist Ralph Burton, although successful and in demand, took his own life, leaving a note nearby with these words: I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day. Dear friend, can you think of some friend or family member of yours? Maybe there is somebody in church this morning who may not appear dead at first sight. He or she may look intelligent, healthy, happy, and engaging, and yet in the sphere that really matters, which is not the body or the mind or the personality, but the soul, that person is dead, blind to the beauties of Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the life, dead to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the transcendent Spirit, which makes all things new, and as unresponsive to the living God as a corpse. Life without God is a living dead, and those who live it are dead while they are living. Bertrand Russell was born into a Christian home and taught to believe in God, but he rejected his training and became an outspoken atheist. His daughter, Catherine, said of him, somewhere at the bottom of his heart, in the depths of his soul, there was an empty space that once had been filled by God, and he never found anything else to put in it. Life without God is a living dead. And Paul goes on to say that we are enslaved. Jesus Christ tells us that true life, real life, is fellowship with God, and without that fellowship, we are dead and spiritually alienated from God and enslaved by sin. We are enslaved. And what does that mean? One way to think about this is of how strong the hold of the secular world is upon our mind. Many people have no mind of their own because they have been enslaved by the pop culture of our time. They are controlled by the social media and captivated by the fascination of fashion. No independence at all. Slaves of the world and of the passions of the flesh, and following the leadership of the God of this world. David Konigsberg mocks our unreasonable and insatiable appetite for the transient things of this world. This is what he wrote. If this century is remembered for anything, it will perhaps be for the speed with which we embrace things and then let them go. According to Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer, believers are to be in the world, but not of the world. In John 8:34 following, Jesus said to the Jews, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Friend, we are slaves to sin, and we have been enslaved by some of our habits that die hard. We need to be liberated. One of the most notoriously bad characters that ever lived in New York was Orville Gardner. He was the trainer of prize fighters and companion of all sorts of hard characters. His reputation was so thoroughly bad that he was called Awful Gardner. He had a little boy whom he dearly loved, and this boy died. A short time after his boy's death, he was standing at the bar in a New York saloon, surrounded by a number of his boon companions. The night was sweltering, and he stepped outside the saloon to get a little fresh air. As he stood out there and looked up between the high buildings at the sky above his head, a bright light was shining down upon him. And as he stood looking at the star, he said to himself, "I wonder where my little boy is tonight." Then the thought came to him quick as a flash. "Wherever he is, you will never see him again unless you change your life." Touched by the Spirit of God, he hurried from the saloon to the room where he knew his godly mother was. He went in and asked his mother to pray for him. She did pray for him, and she led him to Christ. He went home to where he kept a jug of whiskey. He did not dare to keep it and did not know what to do with it. Finally, he took it down to the river, got into a boat, and rowed over to an island. He set the liquor on a rock and knelt down. And as he afterwards said, fought that jug of whiskey for a long time. And God gave him perfect deliverance. But what should he do with the jug? He did not dare to break it, lest the fumes set him wild. He did not dare leave it, lest someone else get it. Finally, he dug a hole in the ground with his heel and buried it. He left the island a free man and became a mighty preacher of the gospel. I wonder, friend, if I'm talking to somebody this morning, you feel alive, but you know from your heart that you are dead in sin and trespasses and enslaved in some area of your life from which you long to be liberated. You were dead, says Paul. Fleshly passions and the spirit of disobedience are at work in your life, and even though you feel alive, you are a moving corpse, dead in the area that really matters, your soul and your spiritual life. At the beginning of a new year, can I ask you to surrender your life and make a new covenant with God so that God will continue to lead you to paths of righteousness. He loves you and he wants to save you. And here is the good news. Because if human beings are dead, they need to be made alive. If human beings are slaves, they need to be liberated and set free. And if they are under the wrath of God, but they need to be pardoned. And only Jesus can bring hope to our hopelessness and rescue us from our existential predicaments. So we turn finally with relief from what we were by nature to what we are by the grace of God. We were objects of wrath, but God had a great love for us. God made us alive with Christ. He has made us to sit with Christ in heavenly places. And by doing this, God has opened the way of life for us, that everyone might enjoy eternal life. The life of Jesus is not merely eternal life in heaven, but spiritual life on earth that empowers us to live out the purpose for which he created us. When we respond to the Holy Spirit's calling, we repent of our sin and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus, God forgives our sin, crediting us with the righteousness of Jesus and sending the Holy Spirit to live inside us. And at that moment of conversion, the breath of God fills our empty, hopeless lives, and our dead spirits come alive. And this new spiritual life goes to work, transforming us from lifeless, sin-filled corpses to vibrant, living children of God. And then, and only then, we can sing with John Newton, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us through the message of your holy word. Father, thank you for calling us to be your own. We confess for times so, Father, when we have not repented from our sin, but instead have remained in those dead places of our lives. And now, Lord, you call us to come out of those places and embrace the salvation and the liberation and freedom which only you can give. Accept us as we come through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, "These Are the Days of Elijah." Let us pray. Let us dedicate ourselves and our offering, and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. We ask you, Father, that we may wisely use all that you have given, all that you are giving, and all that you have yet to give. And we dedicate the tokens of our wealth which we have brought to you to be used for the work of the church as it seeks to bring the world to know your love, that love which calls us to come to you with our burdens and leave them there. Father, we thank you for everything we have, for life with all its fullness and variety, for all that you have given us in the past and for our unbroken fellowship with all your people, past and present, for all that you are revealing to us in our own time, for all the splendor as yet unrevealed that is in store for us, and above all, for the proclamation of your truth in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus our Lord, and for the constant presence of the Holy Spirit, our guide and our strength. Father, before we leave the community of your people, we remember the needs of others. Although we today enjoy our day of rest, there are others for whom it is like other days. People who must work on Sundays if our life is to continue as usual. People whose responsibilities are always with them. We pray that even in the midst of their activity and their concern, they may know the light of your truth. Those who today enjoy a break from daily work must start tomorrow a new week's work. Inspire all the daily life of men and women so that we may live together in that community of concern and love that you intend for us and work together for the coming of your kingdom. All over the world, Christian people have joined to celebrate your glory. We pray that the church in every land may carry that celebration into everyday living, rejoicing to tell the world of your love and to minister to human need in Jesus' name. All over the world, to the nations and their rulers, remember their past, contemplate their present, and make plans for their future. We pray that the vision of your truth and your glory may more and more inspire the hearts and minds of people, that their rulers may seek only to serve and the people may live in peace. All over the world today, there are people who are suffering. Suffering from illness and pain. Suffering from hunger and poverty. Suffering from loneliness and fear. Suffering from bereavement and sorrow. We pray for an end to their suffering, that they may be comforted by the knowledge of your love, that we may be used to help them wherever possible. Father, we pray for the many people in parts of the world who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Reach out to them, O Father, through missionaries and other people who are willing to carry the gospel to people and places like that, and bring them into your fold. Into your hands, Lord God, we commend ourselves and all the men and women and children of the world. May your will be done always and everywhere. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able now, please stand and let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close as we sing Once in Royal David's City, still in the spirit of Christmas. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.